Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. If you care to read along, the scripture is found on page 1209 of the Pew Bibles. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Amen.
This morning I want to tell a simple story told by Fred Kane, a United Methodist pastor in Portland, Oregon. This story comes from a sermon he once preached, and he shared it in an email with other preachers, and I haven't been able to get this story out of my mind since I first heard it, and it seems apt for today. This is the story of the impact of the faith of one nameless homeless street person over 25 years after his death. Tapes of the homeless man have been played in homeless shelters all across America. Most of us wouldn't know that because we don't spend much time in homeless shelters. But in some versions of the story, the homeless person has disappeared mysteriously, suggesting to our hopeful culture that he was perhaps some kind of angel in residence. Perhaps he was, but the true story, I think, is even more assuring and remarkable. Back in 1971, Gavin Bryars, one of England's leading musicians and composers, agreed to help a friend of his, Alan Powers, with the sound on a film that Powers was making about street people in London. Alan Powers was filming in an area around London's Waterloo Station. He filmed various people living on the streets. He caught their daily rituals, trials, and joys on film. Some of the homeless people were inebriated, some mentally disturbed, some very articulate, others totally incomprehensible. Back in the studio, Gavin Bryars began to edit the audio and video footage, and that's when he became aware of a constant undercurrent, a repeating sound that was always there on the audio tape whenever one old man was in the picture. He couldn't tell what the sound was. At first, it sounded like muttering or gibberish, so Bryars removed all the background noise and cleaned up the audio tape, and he discovered the old homeless man was singing. Ironically, the footage of the old man and his muttered song didn't make the filmmaker's cut, the film that his friend was producing, but the filmmaker's loss was Gavin Bryars' gain. He took the rejected audio tape with him and could not escape the haunting sounds of the homeless, nameless man. He did some research on his own into who this homeless man might be. From the film crew, he learned that this street beggar didn't drink, but neither did he engage others in conversation. Most of the time, his speech was totally incomprehensible. He had a cheerful demeanor. He was old and alone, filthy and homeless, but he also had kind of a playfulness. When the film crew was on location, he would often try to trade hats with them, playing a kind of game. What distinguished him from the other street people was his song, the song he sang underneath his breath, a simple, repetitive Sunday school tune. He would sit and quietly sing it hour after hour after hour, and he sang, here are the words, Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for he loves me so. And it was an endless loop. Once he got to the end, he would just begin again. And the song's final line fed into its first line. His old, untrained voice never wavered from pitch, never went flat, never changed keys. He always sang it in the same key. As a musician, Briars was fascinated. He began thinking of ways he could arrange a full orchestra behind this gentleman to accompany his simple song. Anyway, he played the tape over and over in his office, trying to ingrain it into his mind. And one day, he left his office to go downstairs to get a cup of coffee, and the tune was playing in his office and wafted out of his studio into the rest of that floor. And when he came back, a normally buzzing office was eerily quiet and still. And some were inside of his office, and some were outside, but they were under the spell of this stranger's voice, and office of busy professionals were hushed. Those who were still moving around walked slowly, almost reverently, around the office. Many more had taken their seats and were sitting motionless at their desks, transfixed by the voice. More than a few were silently weeping, tears cascading down their face. Gavin Briars was stunned. Although not a believer himself, Briars could not help but be confronted with the mysterious power of this unadorned voice. Sitting in the midst of an urban wilderness, this voice touched a lonely, aching place that lurks in the human heart. It gave an unexpected message of faith and hope in the midst of the darkness of a lonely night. And this nameless old man brought a message from God through a simple song he had to have learned as a child. Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for he loves me so. Briars himself started yearning for the confidence and faith of this old man's song. He began to face what it means to be homeless and alone, even when we're sitting in the midst of coworkers or family members. And Briars vowed to respect this homeless person by creating a recording that would celebrate and accentuate the simple message of his song, so that no matter what a person's condition or status, they would hear that Jesus loves me so. The temple priests, as the book of Hebrews points out, continue in a line of succession. Each of them dies and goes away. However, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, as we heard Bill read. He can save forever and completely those who come to God through him. Because he is always alive. He is always interceding to God on our behalf. He is completely sinless, pure, and now in heaven forever. He does not need to offer a sacrifice for his own sin, but for others, he has already offered himself once for all. His blood was given. That all refers to all time. When we read it at first, we think that it has to do with all people, but it's once and for all, finished, complete, over and done. This is how Jesus loves us so. It's only one word in Greek, that word once and for all, even though we have several English words to describe it. And it, once again, is once for all time. No further occurrence, as in the daily sacrifices in the Jerusalem temple, are necessary. It's complete. It's fulfilled. Another point in the passage that I can't emphasize enough to you is Christ's permanence. The idea of temporary and permanent surrounding and undergird the message of Hebrews. Christ is permanent, whereas all other priests are subject to death. As the mystic Gregory of Nyssa said, "How can you admire the heavens, my son, when you see that you are more permanent than they? For the heavens pass away, but you will abide for all eternity with him who is forever." Technological and cultural realities shift so fast in our world today. When entering the workplace today, people usually expect to change their profession 5, 6, 7 or more times. Ours is a changing world, and in the workplace, some move to new opportunities, others flee from bad circumstances. Even buildings, towns, and institutions that seem sturdy are deteriorating and dying. In the middle of our fleeting world, verse 28 says, "God's Son has been made perfect forever." His eternal position next to God should be a source of great comfort for us. As F.F. Bruce writes in the Epistle to the Hebrews, his once completed self-offering is utterly acceptable and efficacious. His contact with the Father is immediate and unbroken, and his priestly ministry on his people's behalf is never-ending. You see, Jesus is permanent. He's eternal. That's what makes him different than all the other priests that ever served. It took a long time to create and produce a proper accompaniment to the homeless man's little song, but Gavin Bryars did it in partnership with one of America's leading composers, Philip Glass. You can actually go online and order the CD if you're interested. It's titled, "Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me Yet." Shouldn't this be our song? "Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me Yet." Each one of us has a broken, quivery voice, a frail pitch. We're never always in key. But the Christian message is that long ago, Jesus carried humanity's broken songs and shattered chords to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there on a cross, after our feeble attempts to sing God, sing a song to God, God sang to us an eternal symphony of love and grace and faith. Whatever debt, whatever guilt, whatever it is that holds us for ransom is brought to an end on that cross. The debt is paid. Everyone's debt is paid, but we no longer owe our soul to anyone. We're free. If only we could join this nameless old man and sing with confidence and trust his simple song, "Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for he loves me so." In the world in which the book of Hebrews was written, it made sense to talk about Jesus' blood never failing us. But for us 21st century people, the idea of sacrifice on our behalf through the giving of one's blood seems kind of disturbing, or at least very odd. But the blood is simply a symbol of life and love, the life and love of God, given in Jesus. The life and love given for you and me. The life and love that came down at Christmas. The life and love that walked the dusty roads of Palestine. The life and love that reached out to the poor and the sick, the lonely and the disturbed. The life and love that was raised high on a cross on a Friday afternoon. And the life and love that rose from the grave the first day of the week. That, in a nutshell, is the story of Christianity. It's the story of the unfailing blood, the unfailing life and love. And as we look ahead to this very, very busy time of the year that we call the holidays, some holiday for many people, it's a mad rush. But we go to Thanksgiving, we go to Advent, then Christmas, then New Year. Let us not forget that cross and what God has accomplished for us in Jesus once for all. By the way, the old man died shortly after the film crew left his cardboard box street home. It was almost as if when someone finally heard his song, he could leave for another place. Who knows? Maybe he was an angel after all, sent to lead us to the one whose blood never fails us, where we are found, where we are set free, once for all. Amen. Our response